You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Stay tuned for a very special episode of the Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. It's Tony and Gary.
Ba-da-da. Ba-da-da. We haven't been able to sing this for a while.
No, you know what? I bet after last week, people thought we were done. That was the pinnacle of success right there.
You thought that's going to be their last show? Ringo Starr, where can they go from there?
And the comments.
Great.
My God,
yeah,
that was wonderful.
Really, really
thank
great.
You.
Thank you very much.
All for weighing in all the ways that you did.
Yep. And welcome to another edition of the Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein. I'm Tony.
I'm Gary. We have Dave Clark today.
Dave Clark would be a good get. Have you seen...
We better explain that.
Yeah, the Dave Clark 5.
Not the Beatles.
They were not the Beatles, although... In 1964,
here he goes.
In England,
yes,
they were rivaling the Beatles for a short
time. Oh, I knew that.
There. Yeah, and they had a lot of hits, more hits in England than here.
Yes,
but they were pretty.
In 64, I was buying both records. I was buying records of Dave Clark 5 and the Beatles.
Yeah, the Beatles.
Rob Ford is with us. Hello, Rob Ford.
Hi. Oh, man.
How did you happen to get here?
I know. You guys decided to keep me around. How about that?
That's right.
I was looking at some of those old Good Morning America videos of Tony, and I was wondering, you used to rock a pretty nice beard. When did that go away? It would be a good look to bring back.
It went away, I think, while I was off. Yes. In fact, I remember this. On that last day, before we establish this in the last episode, when my son was born in September 2003... Good Morning America. Let me say something about Good Morning America.
Why don't you? Go ahead.
And David Weston.
Who's going to stop you?
David Weston, who was the president of ABC News at the time. They allowed me to do something very unusual. I'm on a national TV show. My son was born. I was living here and commuting back and forth to New York. We had a place in New York as well. But it was our first child and all of that kind of thing. And I took paternity leave. I was off for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And they let me, I had to approach them and say, here's what I would like to do. How do you feel about that?
And you needed time to let your stomach go down.
Well, yes, it was. But they were cool with it.
They were.
If they weren't cool with it, they didn't let me know that. And that's a pretty cool
thing. I think they didn't
let
you know that.
That's what I suspect.
I mean, nobody goes away for a month.
I know, yeah. I know. But they were.
A horrible time when you left. You have no idea.
Yeah, didn't you have to have like fill-ins?
I'll tell you. On another show, I'm going to talk about 1 week when you were gone on paternity leave. I had a different comic do the weather every day. I had amazing people. I had
Chevy Chase.
I had Jim Belushi. I had Jack Black.
I didn't remember Jack Black.
Really, I got very lucky in who was willing to do the weather.
And if I recall correctly, Behar. There was also a little sad story because you had booked someone who died.
The one who was supposed to kick the week off on Monday was John Ritter.
John Ritter.
And we got word over the weekend that John had died.
Yeah.
So we canceled the show.
You didn't cancel the show, but do you remember what you did? Did you move someone up, or you just didn't
I think we moved in Topo Gigio to do the weather that day.
It was either that or they called up Spencer Gigio. Christian. He came back, and they never knew the difference. They just thought Tony was back.
That's right. Just say you're Tony. I don't understand. Just say you're Tony. I don't. How do we get on these things?
I don't know. We're off on a tangent.
Yes,
here.
We are. And it's not how I wanted to start. We do have a great show for you today. And I'm going to ask you guys. Never mind. I'm not going to ask you that on the air. We have a great show for you today.
I guess that's something for later.
Well, I'm confused. I'm not sure what number episode this is. But, we'll figure it out.
Why does that matter?
It's just part of your obsessive personality. We were just talking about you.
Oh, you're not?
And how obsessive you are.
But you're not? Come on.
I guess we're obsessive in different ways.
Oh, Totally.
Yeah.
We are.
Right.
I don't know how we get along.
Really. Who said we get along?
I can't do anything right now. I'm checking email.
That is always what he jumps on.
When I'm done having lunch, we'll have that discussion.
Here's my thing. I have to kind of do one thing at a time.
I know you do.
I know.
Mr. Turtle, I know you do.
And I have to focus. I give something my attention, and then the next thing comes along.
Right. And because
you jump around, it's irritating.
It's irritating.
Sometimes it is.
Wow.
Really?
Sometimes.
And you know what? You are just a walk in the park.
Well,
you are the easiest person in the world.
I'm not saying I'm not easy, but
we've already agreed.
I'm not saying I'm easy.
we know it don't come easy. But we've agreed. You've agreed with me that you're moody. You know that.
Oh, I know. I am moody.
I never know what the hell I'm getting.
Are you moody?
No. No, I'm crazy.
No, you're not. You're not moody.
I'm not moody.
But you. If something's happening to you, I'm aware that it's happening to you. You don't hide.
I'm very emotional.
Yes.
I don't know how to really hide what I'm thinking
and
feeling.
No, you don't. You're terrible at it,
actually. Well, but Sarah says that she kind of likes the fact that she knows me. I'm an open book.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it can get in the way.
Unless you're an open book at a time when it's inappropriate, which Sarah did talk about when she was here recently.
Why don't you mind your own business?
Like when you're bored with a conversation. So you're out to dinner with a group of friends and your wife and some of her friends.
Yes.
And you're bored. I've seen Gary do this. I mean, he literally, I don't know how you ever acted.
Oh no.
Because.
Well, apparently I didn't. Yeah. I had a failed acting career.
Because Gary will literally, we've been in the situation. We're with somebody or some, in situation, and the person is kind of going on and on and on.
Let's just say they're boring, okay?
They're boring.
I give them 30 seconds if they can't win me.
And I'll glance at Gary, and Gary will glance at me and literally do the eye roll and the eyebrows going up, and I'm like, the person is sitting right across from you and can probably see that.
Well, now that's not what Sarah says happens.
What does she say?
She simply says that she's...
You kind of glaze over.
That I've glazed over, yeah. And that my eyes are not focused, and my sweet, wonderful late father used to have an expression for me as a kid,
mm-hmm.
because
Which
I would
was.
Do it as a kid, and I would do it as a young
so
adult.
So even as a kid, okay.
Yes, and my father would notice it with somebody else, and then he would say, Gary, did you go to Cleveland? and I would say, and I don't know why he picked Cleveland.
Right,
Cleveland's very nice, but I would say, yeah. And sometimes, as much as I adored him, if he was telling me something and I wasn't that interested, he could see that I was way gone, and he would say, should I continue with this story, or have you gone to Cleveland? And I would often say, oh, I didn't know, but I did go to Cleveland.
It's very funny how you can't hide it.
But
in a way, it just means you are who you are. Take it or leave it. This is me.
I have trouble hiding my feelings. And Sarah is so polite.
Yes, she is.
That she wouldn't do anything to ruffle a feather.
Right, right.
And I'm always looking to ruffle feathers. I want people to be featherless. So anyway.
It's very funny. All right.
So.
Yes.
Can I bring something up?
Yeah.
Are you about to do something?
I was just going to say to people.
Why don't you do that?
Welcome to the show. And can I tell them who's on the show, or do you want to do your thing
first?
No,
you can do all of that.
Okay.
It's your show.
All right. Well, it's not just my show. It's
your show, too.
You're
damn right.
Turns on a dime.
Well, hold on. Let's check in with Dude just to see whose show it really is.
Oh, yeah. Let's listen.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Yes. There you go.
You had to dial it down.
Wow, he's an instigator.
You know what Dude recorded first that had to be deleted?
What?
He recorded this several times, and they kept saying, that's not the title. And it was he said, The Tony Perkins Show, Saved by Gary Stein.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's kind of true. You have saved a show.
No, I haven't.
I
just share it with you, my friend.
Very funny, Rob Ford. Listen, folks, we love that you listen. We thank you for listening. Please continue to tell your friends about the show. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook at The Tony Perkins Show, on Twitter at T Perk Show, and subscribe to the show and tell your friends to subscribe. On iTunes, all you need to do is search The Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein.
You know, that just sounds so much like, find us more listeners.
Well,
come on.
We want as many people as possible to be listening to the show.
We want to canvas the universe.
Absolutely
right. We want everybody to know us everywhere.
Absolutely right.
Okay.
We have a great show today. We are joined today by boxer Mickey Ward.
Yes.
Who was, now what class was he? Not class. What do they call it? The weight?
Like middleweight.
So he was a middleweight.
He was, but he's not. We don't really have him on just because he's a boxer.
No.
That film, The Fighter.
The Fighter.
2011 was considered almost, you know, for some people, it was considered to be the movie of 2011.
Yes, it was, as a matter of fact. Which is odd because it came out in 2010, I believe.
But it did.
Yeah, but at the Academy Awards when it won everything. Not Best Picture. You know what? You're so hard to work with. Really, can I get a new partner?
Here's what's funny.
I be featured by someone else?
Can I say what's funny, though? Because, again, we're both the same but different. So he's kind of ribbing me because I'm being particular and pointing out it came out in 2010, not 11. Then he said, it won everything, not Best Picture, corrected himself.
So we're
it's the X's and O's of comedy.
That's
Tony Perkins.
We're striving for accuracy.
Stay a while.
Yeah. Hey, great movie. The Fighter, that's a fantastic
movie.
It
is a great film, a great boxing film, but it's also a great story about a family.
Yeah.
And Mickey's terrific. You'll see. Mickey's
so
terrific.
For folks who might not remember, Mark Wahlberg plays Mickey.
Yes. Christian Bale played his brother, Dickie Eklund.
Yes.
And he won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor.
Yes.
And Melissa Leo, who played Mickey Ward's mother, won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress.
So we've got the guy that the movie was based on the show today.
We do.
We're going to talk about where he is now. Going to talk about some of the huge fights with
Arturo Gatti.
Oh my goodness.
Any boxing fan today knows the Ward-Gatti wars.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They were amazing.
Yeah. You can actually see them. Is there an HBO special? Or?
There was. There was an HBO special, a great documentary about Ward-Gatti.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find the fights. The Ward Gatti fights on YouTube. They are still out there.
These are
amazing fights.
You know, there's so many fights in boxing that are hype, and you get to the fight and it's like, what a letdown. Those were fights that lived up to, I mean, they were wars.
Well, after the first one, everybody said, well, they can never do that again, and they did it two more times.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. So we'll talk to Mickey a little bit later on.
Yes.
All right, you wanted to do something?
Maybe I don't.
Oh, come on.
Well, the first thing that I wanted to do was that I had a gift for you.
Oh, another gift?
Yeah.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Now that I'm remembering what the last gift was.
The last gift was the SAE t-shirt.
SAE, yeah.
No, I'm not going there with that.
Have you had a chance to try that on yet?
I have never put it on.
Oh, okay.
I have showed it to many people.
Okay.
Yeah, who all think it's very funny.
Yes,
but not wearable.
I couldn't
wear it.
The only thing is, you and I did talk about, if we were brave, we should take a camera crew. You should wear that shirt, and we should see, you know, what people have to say. You know the John Quiñones thing that the series that he has?
Yes.
You know, what would you do?
What would you do?
I'd love to see how people respond to anyone wearing an SAE shirt, let alone a black guy.
Yeah. Actually, I mean...
Shouldn't we do it?
We should do it. Because we could do it on Channel 5then have it here, too.
Why don't we do it for Channel 5 and we'll have it on the podcast?
All right.
Let's pitch that.
We'll pitch it.
Okay.
All right.
You know what? They've got to say yes to that. It's so controversial.
Now we're a few weeks after, so I don't know. But we'll try.
You know what? Maybe that's better because we'll see if people remember it and if anybody has a comment to make.
Or the way things are going, we could just wait for the next racist event because they seem to be popping up.
What time is it? Yeah. All right. So I've talked about something a number of times on the show, and you've appropriately given me a lot of crap for it. So I thought it was actually time to buy it for you.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Is it a new car?
It's a new car. No, that you'll have to do on your own. But I did get something that I know you're going to treasure.
Okay.
I know you'll keep forever and you'll share it with your friends.
Okay.
Because I think your friends will probably appreciate it the most.
Okay. What is the... Where do you shop? It is a DVD of Five on the Black Hand Side.
Yep. I know. I had to order that. I ordered that on Amazon through the Mike O'Meara app.
Did you really?
I really did.
Ding! He gets a ding for that.
Yes, he does.
No, I really did.
This is funny.
And I thought, you know what I noticed, though? When I read the jacket, it was produced by Brock Peters.
Oh, was it really?
Very well-known actor. I think
he
might have been in it. It didn't have... You know, I'm the trivia king of like supporting actors. Clarice Taylor was in this movie. Black actress who worked all the time. People would know her face.
Is that her?
No, that is not Clarice Taylor. Right. Clarice Taylor played the maid in Play Misty for Me, Clint Eastwood's movie, his directorial debut. And she
then she was, wasn't she in Silence of the Lambs? Anthony Hopkins talking to Clarice,
wow.
The FBI agent.
Wow.
No, not her.
You know, you really know how to just sort of ruin a good time.
I'm sorry.
So, but she makes you fall in love with that character and play Misty for me, and she's knifed to death by Jessica Walter, who's the evil.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But she's in a million movies, and I forgot that she was in Five on the Black Hand Side.
I'm going to watch this. I have memories of this movie. I told you, my dad played it in his movie theater.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now you always referred to it for me as my go-to black exploitation film.
Yes.
It's actually not.
No?
No, because I started to think that movie was significant to me because my roommate in college and I went to see it in the theaters.
Right, right.
And so it meant something to me. But I do have a favorite black exploitation film.
Do you?
And no, it's not Shaft, because
I
get upset when people call that a black exploitation movie because it's an adventure movie with a black lead actor.
I am with you.
And Pam Grier is in it, so there's a black actress.
I'm with you.
Why would you call it a black exploitation film?
Well, because it's easy. It's just easy to lump it in with all the other, you know, with the, first of all, blaxploitation, that's a whole
different thing.
Yeah. Shaft was a straight movie.
Yeah.
You know?
And it was an exciting adventure film. It's unfair to call it just a black exploitation film. And it was directed by a guy who really didn't direct. He was one of the most famous photographers of his day.
Yes.
Walter Parks.
Oh, I thought I was thinking someone else.
A black photographer who decided to direct.
Gordon Parks. Is it Walter or Gordon? I think it's Gordon Parks.
Can you look that up? Because if I'm wrong, I will have to leave the show. I think
I think it's Gordon Parks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I was thinking about Walter Mitty.
Walter Parks was his brother who ran a chili dog stand in Philly.
And then they had a younger brother named Fredo Parks who did nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Gordon Parks.
Oh, I can't believe I did that. So this is a movie trivia thing that you won.
Yes.
All right.
And I win five on the black hand side.
Yeah, but you win something else.
What do I? Oh, something else?
Yeah, you win my favorite black exploitation film.
Really?
Yes. I was lucky enough to find it with its sequel.
With its sequel?
Yes.
Can I?
You can guess.
It's not Blackula. It's not going to be Blackula. Am I right?
You know what?
Am I right? Am I right?
You know what? You know what? I have to leave.
Yes.
How did you do that?
Because when you said sequel, the first thing I think of is Scream, Blackula, Scream.
Look at what the combination is called.
Soul Cinema. Did you read the subtitle?
Read the subtitle.
Soul Cinema. That brother's bite was out of sight.
And, you know, but people liked William Marshall.
Yes.
He was a good actor. But I can't. So
this
you corrected me on Gordon Parks.
Well, I should know
you
this.
You guessed
stuff.
Blackula.
Yeah.
I hope this you don't have great. This. Do you have it?
Oh, no, I do not.
Why would you?
I do not. But I would love to watch this. And you know what I'm thinking? Is it rated R? I can't remember.
No, I don't think so. I think you could watch this with Connor.
Okay, I want Connor to see it.
It's so not scary.
I know.
It's so bad.
And it's so 70s. He'll watch 10 minutes and he'll walk out the room.
Well, but he has a great sense of humor and he'll watch this movie and go, yeah, this is good.
This is great. You know? Blackula and Scream, Blackula, Scream. This was blaxploitation.
That was.
And that period, I mean, that's such a fascinating period because black folks were getting jobs all of a sudden in the movies, acting and writing and producing and all that kind of stuff. But most of the movies, there were some good movies. Coffee was a pretty good movie.
Yes.
What was the other?
I got another one that's not a black exploitation film, but it was an early romantic film with a black cast that was unusual. It was called Claudine.
Oh, yeah.
And it was James Earl Jones and Diane Carroll.
Yeah, yeah. And I do wonder how some of those movies would hold up now. Like a lot of movies from that era, they just make movies differently now.
Right.
Like I saw parts of, what's the one with Billy Dee Williams, Diana Ross, Lady Sings the Blues?
Oh, yeah.
Classic movie.
Yes.
When you look at it now,
it's not a great film.
It's not as well made as I thought it was back then.
And Berry Gordy made that film. That was his first movie,
right,
I think.
He wasn't a filmmaker. So.
I think it's tough to go backwards with the aspect of pacing.
Yes,
because the pacing was slower back then.
Right.
Now it's quicker, but it's hard to go back to slow.
Right.
If you're used to the fast pacing,
it had to be slow if you were playing Billie Holiday.
This is quite a. Oh, you know what? Five on the Black Hand Side is also part of the Soul Cinema. It says Soul Cinema at the top.
Well, we got a theme going.
Why is it
gotta
be Soul Cinema? Just
wait, why
do
they have to do that? Yeah.
Refreshing, entertaining, warm, and funny, said New York Magazine. you know, they probably just said, we better say something nice about this.
People will think we're prejudiced.
Yeah, rioting outside of our offices.
Exactly.
Now, thank you very much. This is great.
You're welcome.
And I will certainly watch them.
Very
I'll
good.
Watch as much as I can if I'm like, okay.
Believe me, you don't have to sit through them. You know what? I'm curious to see if Five on the Black Hand Side is actually a decent film. I don't know if it is.
In Blackula, I remember something, and I can't remember if it's from either of these two movies or if it's a sketch that I saw. I remember, like, the family sitting at the kitchen table. This must have been a sketch I saw. Because then Blackula flies in, or a bat flies in, mm-hmm. to the kitchen, and somebody at the table says, look, a black chicken.
Hey, would this be too much of an inside joke to say that actually Blackula did not suck blood, he would suck grenadine?
That is not true. I'm looking at you as if this is... or Thunderbird. all right, enough. That is enough.
Muscatel.
That's not the direction we're
no,
going.
No, no.
Now, but this does bring up a question.
Yes.
You won the movie trivia contest
yes.
a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Your prize was going to be a DVD of a movie classic from me to you that you were supposed to choose.
Oh, that's right.
And you haven't done that yet.
No, I will.
Is there any, you? Okay. It's, so when you think of it, let me know.
It's hard. Yeah, that's a hard one. Because...
And I'll present it. Is that the name of it? A hard one? What section would
that's
I find that
that's the name
in?
Of something else. Yeah.
But when you know, let me know.
I will.
And I'll,
I will.
And I'll get that to you. Thank you very much for those. I appreciate
You're
it.
You're very welcome.
Oh,
yeah.
Speaking of this, there's a debate going on right now. Did you hear that there's some talk about Idris Elba being the next James Bond?
Yes.
When Daniel Craig is finished
yes.
with the series.
Yes.
And Idris Elba is a fantastic actor. He is British. He's black. But great accent, great presence, and women love him. He's very good looking. I know many women who say, oh, he's the one. But there is great controversy about this because there are many people who are saying, no.
Right. James Bond is white.
James Bond is white. It doesn't make sense to have a black actor. You know, you have to respect Ian Fleming and his original vision and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, there are other people who are saying, well, why not? Why can't he be
Hey, you know
black?
What? They did a black Odd Couple, you know. That's true. There have been a lot of things where black casts are suddenly,
right,
you know.
Right, right.
I don't see anything wrong with it. The only thing that I do see is that certain changes would have to be made because if you have a black James Bond, there's a lot more chrome on the car.
Oh, my goodness.
And also, I think the car would be lowered, you know?
Yeah. Also, instead of 007, he'd be 0010, probably.
0010?
0010.
Where'd you get that from? I think the clothes would be flashier.
No. Yes. It would be James Bond. Listen, he's still British. He has a British accent. Some people are saying, yeah, but the original guy is Irish and stuff. Well, they don't go into all that in the movies. Yes, Rob, you're dying to say something.
Go ahead.
Yeah, can I have a gin and juice shaken, not stirred?
Well, there's the grenadine joke.
Give yourself a ding. Imagine if that came out.
Oh, boy.
You know what? I would almost do that just for the laugh. If they do it and it's Idris Elba and he goes to the bar. I'll have a gin and juice,
please.
Shaken, not stirred. That's good. I don't know how I feel about this. I have mixed feelings. On the one hand, I feel like, listen, get over it because it's a fictional character.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not like, it's not a historically, it's significant in pop culture, but it's a made up character. There was no James Bond in real life. So he's fictional. So you can recast it any way you want to recast it. I do hear the people who say, but it just seems so out of place. And
the only thing that makes me feel like it's potentially out of place, again, is that it is supposed to be a British sophisticate, and of course there are black people who live in England, but you don't think of that. So if you think
But there are some.
Yes, there are.
And he certainly could play. When this conversation happens, Idris Elba actually is the perfect person to be talking about for this because he could do that. He's already British. He already has the accent. He already has that sophistication and all of that kind of stuff. It would be a little weird if they were saying, hey, Eddie Murphy, let's make Eddie Murphy.
You know
James.
How in the movies that he always has to say his name?
Yes.
So I think another change, Idris would have to say, I be Bond.
Oh,
James
my
Bond.
Goodness. This is, I am so sorry I brought this up.
Yeah. I be Bond. I be Bond.
I be Bond.
Yeah. What do you want to do about it? I be Bond. All you, right. You ain't you not Bond. I be Bond.
I be Bond.
Yeah, you
James
know what?
Bond.
I'm gonna get into my chariot right now, and I'll chase your ass down. Because I be Bond. You ain't Bond.
All right, we've decided who is not gonna write the script for this.
And hey, thank you, everybody. I think that's all the time we have for it. Have a good night.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Thanks for listening.
This edition of the Tony Perkins Show will not air again.
You can't do this to me. I'm Carl Lewis. I'm Carl Lewis. You can't do this to Carl Lewis.
Here's the last thing. I don't think we're solving anything with this discussion.
I hope not.
But I thought would be an intelligent discussion about this.
Well, that was your mistake.
Here's the on the website. Oh, where it is? Your web. It's,
are you stuttering?
Kind of. It's like Euroweb. Mm-hmm. So it's from Europe.
Right.
EURweb.com. They just published an article a week or so ago about this with a new insight being provided from Yaphet Kotto.
Oh, wow.
Yes, the only black villain ever in a James Bond. Or there have been black villains, but he was the only head black villain. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Boss
I
man.
Know what you're trying to say.
Yes,
I,
thank you very much. Yeah. Yaphet Kotto says James Bond should be played by white actors. He
wow.
says, yeah, he played Dr. Kanaga, Mr. Big, in Live and Let Die. He believes James Bond was established by Ian Fleming as a white character and should be played by white actors. Now, here's the point that he makes. And I guess my basic feeling is, look, if you want it to be Idris Elba for a few movies, go for it. I don't really care. And it would be kind of cool to see that. There are people who are saying, let's not do this because all this is taking political correctness too far, that mm-hmm, everybody's mm-hmm. got to play everything. So I kind of get that a little bit. Yaphet makes the point that, listen, there are certain characters who are so iconic that that's what they are. For example, he said, listen, a black Bond would be silly, in his words. This is Yaphet Kotto. Mm-hmm. If I say I want to play JFK, I should be laughed out of the room. Why should James Bond be black? It's silly, is what he says. Now, my only argument about that is JFK was a real character.
Yes.
I mean, a real person.
A real person, and yeah. And it was a known fact that he was partially black.
Well, I think Fleming, the original book was written in, what, the 50s?
Yes.
The 50s?
Yes.
So in the 50s, the high-class Brit was a white man. That's
yes.
just what they were.
Yes.
And so I think it was just a matter of, this is what this guy is.
It came
so,
out of the times.
So I'll make him white.
Yeah.
You know, and then
that was his world.
And now the movies, I mean, they completely reboot them to be current. I mean, it's set in, you know, 2015 or whenever
right.
the movie is released.
Right.
So
but, okay,
deal.
Now let me ask you this, though. Okay, so
okay.
you make a good point. The new movies, or the most recent ones, M is a woman.
Yes.
M was always a guy.
Right.
So has that changed
well,
the movies?
Well, I think in the original James Bond films, he was a man, but he was actually a cross-dresser.
Boy, you read yeah. things, you read into things
know,
much
I,
more
well,
than I do.
Well, I think that was true. Now, look, if we're going to accept that, we have to accept the Shaft that's in pre-production right now.
Is there, are they casting a white Shaft?
Jackie Mason.
Jackie.
Yeah.
It's a very short movie.
It's a short movie. Hey, I don't know. Stop or I'll shoot you. Why don't we get some nice dessert now? Yeah, get some dessert. Forget the gun. I don't like to carry a gun. I don't carry a gun. We don't have to have a gun. I don't need a gun. It's not a gun's not important. It's not important.
Now that I would go see. All right. That's the end of my discussion on this. I don't think we've solved anything.
I don't think so. Either.
No, we have not.
No.
I will say one last thing.
Sure.
Some of the people make comments about this. There's the other interesting comment. And Yaphet says this as well. Some people are saying, listen, let's be original and let's create a great black super spy that, you know, Idris Elba can play or what have you. You know, some people are saying, listen, if there's not enough in Hollywood, the diversity and all that kind of stuff, then let's make those roles so that there can be, you know, just like in the 60s, there was James Bond and who in like Flint, who was he?
That was James Coburn.
Yeah. And what was his name?
Flynn.
Flynn. But what was his first or last name?
Errol.
All right.
I don't remember.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, I don't know. You know,
I'm done with that one.
All right. Well, I think we've
Errol
beaten
Flynn.
It to death.
Well,
it was. By the way, it was a In Like Flynn.
Yes.
Was a takeoff.
I saw one of those recently. Not good.
In Like Flint is what it was, And
Lint, right,
yes.
Okay.
And it was a takeoff on the expression from the 30s, in like Flynn, which was about, everybody wanted to be as cool as Errol Flynn.
Gotcha,
So that's why they picked that
gotcha,
title.
Gotcha, okay.
But I can't remember what Flint's first name was.
Yeah, I saw one of those movies recently. It was not good.
They don't
Talk
hold
about
up.
Pacing.
They don't hold up at
oh
all.
Oh, my God. The pacing in this was so slow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Go
okay.
ahead.
A Matt Helm movie was probably better.
Matt Helm was Dean Martin.
Yes.
Yeah.
So listen, I think you're going to love this because we have similar pet peeves.
Okay.
I'm going to set this up.
Okay.
And then I know you'll have a lot to add to this.
Maybe
so,
not.
Oh, no, you will. Well, unless you want to sandbag me and, you know, pick a new co-host featuring person. So I don't understand why today everybody has to be applauded for the job they do. Every service, whether it's Cablevision or Apple or anybody you call, they want a survey afterwards to find out how they did.
Oh, yes.
What do you think of how I did? You know, and so they want us to take time out. I mean, if you're doing a service job, you're expected to do a good job.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really need to say, by the way, I give you a 5-star rating for the way you did that because mm-hmm. You're going to get a letter from me if you don't do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So I recently had to go to BMW. I didn't go there for an oil change, but I did go there because there was something wrong with my GPS.
Okay. I just want to establish for the record, I think for the first time on this show, that Gary, who accuses me of being a billionaire, drives a BMW.
And that proves what? That I have a nice car?
Yeah, you have a nice car. An expensive car.
Yeah.
What kind of BMW?
It could mean that I put my priorities in the wrong place.
Could mean that too.
that's
how you want to take the onus off of being rich?
Well, does it help that I bought it used?
Well, you had to get a good price.
Anyway, I have often driven nicer cars than Tony. But you know, it'd be nice to make a bigger salary.
Okay.
So anyway... You're taking me out of my game.
No,
I don't
I'm
know
sorry.
Where I am.
Go ahead.
So I take it in to have the GPS looked at. Mm-hmm. They reboot it. They reprogram it. And it didn't work any better, okay?
Mm.
But I get the mandatory email, how did we do, you know, from BMW. It's like, you know, please give me a break. If it was an oil change, they would have sent me something. Let us know how we served you and how we could serve you better.
Yes.
So I got the survey, and normally I just ignore them. I filled out the survey.
You did?
Yeah, here it is. I wrote this back to BMW. I absolutely love everything about this dealership and my BMW. Looking forward to trading it in and getting a newer one soon. But I can't stand that every service I use in my life requires a survey of what kind of job they did for me, whether it's cable, Apple, or pretty soon the Exxon station down the street. You know what? It should be a given that if you provide a service, you're expected to do a good job. Shocking, isn't it? You know what I'd like? For the business world to recognize that if you don't do a good job, I bet you're going to hear from me. And I'll know how to reach out and make my feelings known. But does everyone need to be validated for every breath we take these days? I have no idea how this trend started, but I sure can't wait for it to go away and to morph into something much more user-friendly. Please feel free to share this with every industry in the world that provides anything that people pay for. And yes, I just finished a sentence with four. Thank you. I will now step off my soapbox. This is my pet peeve. I absolutely love my goddamn BMW.
Oh my goodness.
And if you leave me alone, I promise to sleep in the car. You have my word. Aren't you sorry you asked? I wrote a book here. Thank you.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
So
you were in a mood that day.
I got into a place.
You
it's
were
like,
in a mood.
Do you know what? Really? Do we need to congratulate the guy who pumps gas for us because he didn't make us drink any?
Yeah.
Or he didn't, you know what? He didn't miss the gas tank.
Yeah. Hey, congratulations.
He got, listen, I'm sorry to say this. He got that thing right in there. You know, like really, what does it say about us?
It says about us, here's where I think it comes from. What they're trying to do is be more customer friendly.
Yes.
What they don't realize is they're actually being kind of irritating.
They are.
Because they're like BMW is not the only one. Like you say, Apple does it. Everybody does it. This is why when I buy something and they say, and may we have your email address? I say no.
Right.
Because I know I'm going to get some, thank you for purchasing blah, blah. Thanks for purchasing Blackula and Scream Blackula Scream. Did you enjoy those blaxploitation movies? Well, you know, I don't have time to fill out all these
forms. No, and I get
forms.
This. I get this. Every other time or so when I come down here, I stay in a hotel because you've decided you've had enough white people in your house for a while. So I don't, you know, every once in a while he reaches the limit and I stay at a hotel. Every time I stay at a hotel, the next day I get, we'd like to know how you enjoyed your stay.
Yeah.
Well, I enjoyed it quite a lot. I called a hooker. You know, it's like, well, you know what?
Then if he gets a text from the hooker. I'd like to know how you enjoyed my service.
Well, I think you could have been a little bit more outgoing. No, I just think you're a hotel,
yeah.
Right? If there was something wrong, if the room smelled funky, mm-hmm. You know, if I didn't think that the sheets were changed.
Well, that was the hooker.
Yeah, that was the, yeah. Not the hookers I call, pal. I drive a BMW.
That's right.
These are high-class hookers. My hookers, they come from
Hey, no. Yeah. You can't say
no,
that.
No, I can't say that.
No, okay. That'll be cut out.
No, it won't.
No, you can't imply that.
Well, no, all right, never mind.
Bleep it.
Bleep it. Yes. Right? We've had a discussion about what we will or won't cut out of the show. We're so spontaneous. It's just like, let it roll. Cut that out, Rob. Take 3 seconds off the last bit. And if you don't, you're fired.
That's what the hooker said. Take 3 seconds off the last bit.
Oh!
No. She said, what, that's all I get? 3 seconds?
Easiest night of my life.
Yeah, so.
She actually left you a review.
She left a questionnaire on the table and said, how did I do? What do you think? Would you call again?
Would you recommend me to your friends?
Exactly.
Right.
And the price.
That would be very odd.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm with you, although I that's a little over the top, the letter you sent. But you know what? I'm sure they're passing that letter around the office.
I hope so, because it was sort of
Mabel,
funny,
Mabel, get
too.
In here. You got everybody. Come see this response we got.
But you know what? When I was at GMA.
Mabel?
When we were at GMA. Mabel. Thank you. That went right by me. I got a lot of crap for Trixie. Mabel. Well, like Mabel, Mabel Normand. Silent Screen Star.
Yes.
Max Sennett's
wife.
That's
who's working there. Max, don't get too old now.
Don't get too old. He brings up Mabel. I didn't. How about, you know, names that aren't used anymore?
Mabel.
Like, get Henrietta in here.
Henrietta. Hazel.
Hazel. Gertrude.
Gertrude. I had a grandmother, Gertrude.
I had a grandmother, Sadie.
Did you really?
Nobody would.
No one's a Sadie now.
No.
My grandmothers were Gertrude and Ermine.
Really?
Yeah.
Ermine.
Ermine. Yeah. I don't know where that name came
I've never
from.
Heard that name before.
Yeah.
Sadie and Dora. There's no Dora anymore. Dora
there's
the
still
Explorer.
Some Doras because of Dora the Explorer. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you see where we went? We should just be called the ADD Podcast.
That's what, maybe we should change the name.
Really?
I love your letter. It's over the top. I'm sure they're sharing it with people.
Do you remember at Good Morning America, you would get fed up about certain things and you would get to the point where you had to go into your office, you'd go to the computer, and you would start to fire off an email, and you would say, maybe you should read this first before I send it.
Right.
And I'd look at it and I'd go, it's a little rough.
Yeah.
It's a little harsh. Maybe we should pull back. And we would actually change it a little bit.
When I was, this is a funny story about me. When I worked with Donnie Simpson at WKYS Radio, I've always remembered this. Now, everybody who would call in or write to us, they all loved the show. It was great. It was that one, you know, someone wrote in, and I don't remember what the letter was about, but it was like a pretty nasty, you guys suck and whatever kind of thing. So I go out, and I'm at a typewriter. This is how long ago it is. I'm typing a letter, and I look angry. So Donnie comes to the hall. He says, are you writing back to that person? I said, yes, I am. He looks over my shoulder and starts laughing and says, man, you can't send that. The letter, I can't even say the words. The letter said, dear Mr. Smith, whatever, you MF.
Yeah.
MF. You MFing MF. That was the first sentence.
So you had a verb and a noun.
Yeah.
Or an adjective and a noun.
Yes.
You don't usually put those together.
On NBC stationery.
You were young.
Yeah, I was young, and you know, I guess I knew I can't send this, but it, I love that Don that I was writing it, and Donnie came and just looked over and just you can't send that.
Oh, wow.
So we do get fired up.
You pulled the paper out of the typewriter and then you sent it in Morse code.
Right. we get riled up.
We do.
And
we
that's
do.
You know, here's my thing about that. It's listen, I know what they're trying to do, but you're right. If you know what, if the service is fantastic, we'll tell them that. And if it's bad, we'll tell them that as well. And
there's not enough time in the day to deal with this.
Because we get it from everybody.
Everybody needs to be told how wonderful they are.
Right, right.
We have a right to expect good service from all of us and everything that everybody provides.
Right. I am just reading this headline on my phone because I do get news updates. It says BMW no longer providing survey service to customers. They've decided to.
Wow. Yeah,
based on you.
I thought you were just going to say the BMW has decided they're no longer providing service to me.
That might come too. That might come too.
Real quick, can I add something real quick?
Yes, please do.
Just be sure to take a little bit of time out of your day and give the Tony Perkins Show a 5-star review on iTunes. Just take some time and say how wonderful it is
what
to you.
What made you think of
and
that?
And that would really just be very appreciated.
Well, what
anyway,
made you think
please,
of that
please
now?
Continue, please.
Are we the biggest hypocrites? Wow.
Yeah.
Good point.
Tell us what you like about the show.
Good point.
There are 10 questions to answer.
Rob, you know what? Edit out that entire last segment.
Yeah.
That was 20 minutes.
We didn't mean it.
All right, listen, we got to get Mickey Ward on the phone.
Very good there,
the
Rob.
The movie, if you're not a boxing fan, but you're a movie fan, you know Mickey Ward. You saw The Fighter.
That's right.
Like you said, 2011 movie of the year on many, and could have, I don't remember what Best Picture was, but The Fighter certainly was a contender.
I think The Fighter was nominated for Best Film, but
I know it was.
Yeah, but
I don't know what the winner was. Rob is looking it up. Christian Bale, Mark Wahlberg, Melissa Leo.
Directed by Gordon Parks.
No, it wasn't.
The King's Speech was the number one movie in 2011.
Boo. It should have been The Fighter.
Not very good.
And the star of The King's Speech, I believe, won the Academy Award for Best Actor.
I think he did.
Yeah. Colin Firth?
Firth.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It should have been The Fighter. Anyway.
The King's Speech was amazing.
It was a great movie. Yeah. But, you know, enough.
Are you just placating because Mickey's coming on soon?
No, but because, you know, the Academy tends to go, if it's British, they kind of like it.
Yeah, but it was such a great movie.
Oh, it's a fantastic movie. Yeah. But, you know, I like The Fighter better.
Yeah,
I didn't get through it.
You didn't get through it?
No.
See? Did you get through The Fighter?
I did.
Did
Gordon Parks direct King's Speech?
Gordon Parks did not.
he took the pictures.
Did Walter Parks direct King's Speech?
That's where you were confused. It was a Walter Parks production.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. A Walter Parks production. Like that's... Okay, anyway, come on. Let's get him on the phone.
Is it time for Mickey?
Yes, it's time for Mickey.
We're in a strange mood.
Dial him up, Rob.
I love this guy.
It's Tony and Gary, the Tony Perkins Show.
Mickey, hey, it's Gary Stein and Tony Perkins.
Hello, Mickey.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're doing great. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
Hey, you know what? I have to be very careful on this show because I'm a boxing fan. I'm a huge boxing fan, and I can't assume that all of our listeners are boxing fans. So I've already waxed philosophical about you and about why I think you're amazing. So I have to be careful because I'm prejudiced. You know what? We've been talking about the movie, about you know, you and Arturo Gatti, which I have a couple of questions about. But I don't want to ask you the same questions everybody's asked you over and over again. We have to talk about the film because the film was amazing. It was considered to be like one of the films of 2011. Can you tell me a little bit about how it came about? How did they approach you and say, we want to do your life story?
Yeah, well, it was it started 6-7 years before that. A guy from the area did like a little documentary, and then I got in the hands of, they shopped it around to some people out in L.A., and I guess Mark had heard about it, and he looked at it, and he loved it. And, you know, I know Mark personally, so, you know, and he's from my area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's in Massachusetts, and, you know, he loved the story, and Mark took it, and he just ran with it and got it made, you know.
How did it feel to have Mark Wahlberg play you?
Good. It was excellent, you know. He's a little bigger than me, you know, but... But I was good, though. He really did a great job.
I bet you could take him, though.
I don't know.
You don't know. Well, actually, that's one of the things. Let me say this. I'm a boxing fan. I'm not as big a fan as Gary is, but I'm a boxing fan. I love boxing movies. I really do. They're some of the best dramatic movies that you have out there.
Yes.
But they're so interesting because that's a hard thing to fake.
Yes.
And so, did you work with Mark Wahlberg to so that he had you down and so that he could be a convincing version of you?
Yeah, basically, you know, me and Brother Dickie went up there and to Mark's house, and we stood up at Mark's house for a few weeks at a time, a couple times. Trained with him, ran with him, Christian trained. Well, Christian didn't run with us, I don't think, but me and Mark trained with Dickie. We ran together, we trained together, Christian too, in the gym, and you know, just to, and then, you know, hang out with them for a while so they can get our mannerisms and see, you know, how we interacted with each other and things like that. And, you know, so we did spend time with them up there in L.A., and it was a great experience. And, you know, if I say funny thing about the movie is Christian won Academy because Dickie's crazy and is crazy, like jumping out of windows and all that crap. And here I am. I'm like quiet. I'm not at the raw end of it because I'm like a quiet guy and Dickie's jumping out of windows and running from cops and...
So that's what got Christian Bale the Oscar.
Hey, Mickey, I gotta ask you something. Let's just say that they're two different people. The Dickie Eklund as interpreted by Christian Bale and the Dickie Eklund that you grew up with, who would be the easiest one to hang out with? Which Dickie?
Oh, I'll tell you, probably neither one of them because Christian got so good at the Dickie's role. If you were from the back, you wouldn't even know who was who. That's how far he dove into his character as far as losing weight and, you know, the herky jerky movements he has and, you know, his little, like, you know, his little sayings and like whack and all that stuff, you know what I mean? I mean, he did a tremendous job.
So let me ask you, for you, and in particular for Dickie, because the movie is what they call a warts and all portrayal, you know, the highs, the lows, the tough parts. Was it hard to watch some of that and hard to know that people all over the world were going to see all of this?
Right. I mean, it was a little bit at the beginning, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, unfortunately, for Dickie, you know, he come out of it, you know, and that's a good thing about it. But it was more harder for him to see because of what he was doing, and he didn't want to really look at himself in that light, you know, but then when he seen the movie, he was like, oh, shit. It was kind of hard for him to take it at first.
Well, you know what? In some ways, if the movie is accurate, it seems like prison was the best thing that could have happened for Dickie because he really kicked his habits, right? I mean...
Yeah, he did for the most part. I mean, every day is a struggle, but I mean, for the most part, yes, you're right. It was the best thing because, you know, from just getting like slapped on the wrist and letting back out, you know, all the time, that didn't help at all. So I think the time away did help him a lot.
Melissa Leo won the Academy Award for playing your mother, and that character was such a wild, extreme home run for any actress to be able to tackle. Is that really who your mother was?
Oh, yeah, her and Dickie were like husband and wife, not my mother and father.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, no, she, you know, she loved us all, but, you know, they were very close. He was the first son and only boy. Because there's seven girls and two boys, you know.
Right.
Mm. By the time your mother passed, had your wife and your mother really come to terms with each other? Were they? I mean,
for the most part, yeah. It was good. It was a lot better than with my sisters, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the movie ends. I guess it ended in a good place because it ended after you beat Shane Neary, and. You know, man, you were on hostile territory, fighting that fight on his territory. I guess you were considered the underdog in that fight.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
And you really took him apart. I mean, as a boxing fan, I watched that fight. I couldn't believe what you did in that fight.
Because, you know, he fought everybody, I'm not going to say they were on the way out or whatever, but he didn't fight against people that I had fought coming up, you know, like the Zab Judas and all them guys like that, you know what I mean? I fought a lot of good fighters, you know what I mean, coming up, and, you know, I won some, I didn't win, I lost some, but, I mean, I had a lot more experience. I was in with the tougher fights, the better fighters, I thought.
You were in some of the toughest fights I've ever seen in my life.
I was used to it pretty much. I could take it. I didn't mind taking it to get what I wanted, you know what I mean? So, and the end of it paid off. But, he was like not a big talker, but he was kind of like cocky.
Is that one of your, I would imagine that's one of your proudest moments because you went into that fight as such an underdog.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. Especially, and the thing about it is for a title, it wasn't one of the major titles. It was a smaller title, but it was still a title. And that was a big underdog, especially being in a different country, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started to say before that the movie ended before, I think, a time that you are the most famous for. And that is your three unbelievable, legendary fights with Arturo Gatti. And you know, I know that that was a complicated relationship. Some people think that you guys were friends while, you know, before you were fighting and while you were fighting.
No, I didn't even know him.
Right, but you really didn't become close friends till after the third fight, right?
Till after the third, yeah. Yep.
Oh.
Now, you know,
no way. I mean, even when I'm in the ring, if I'm sparring with someone, I'm going to try to take their head off because I don't know. You're not going to hit me. I'm going to hit you back.
Right.
You can't afford to like somebody if you're in the ring. I mean, you can't really afford to recognize your friendship. But
no way. How is this? If you're going to hit me, I'm hitting you back harder.
It's kind of the objective. Right.
I got to ask you something. In all three fights, I know that you won the first, you lost the next two. You didn't lose them by much, you know, but I know
the second one I did. The second one I got beat pretty good. I went down and I never recovered.
You were doing great in the third fight, and then you said that's when you discovered that you were actually, your legs were getting old in the ring, and that was an amazing discovery for you, right?
Well, right before the third, well, not right before, but after the second fight, so I'm going to fight the third fight, I'm all done. I don't care if I win or lose, I'm done. And then, and the funny thing is I knocked him down, I think the sixth round or so, and when I went back to the corner, you know, usually, you know, it was right at the very end of the sixth round, so usually I'd, the round, you know, the minute rest, and I'd come out, and, you know, it'd still be a little day, so I'd go right at him. But when I got off my stool on the seventh, it was like I got knocked down, I had no legs, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And that really just solidified me retiring. You know, I knew right there I was done. I was going to stop anyways, but that just put an exclamation point on it.
But when you're in the fight and you have that realization, is that a scary thought? Like, whoa, you know, I got to get through this.
No, it's a good thought. I know I'm not going to go through this again.
That's funny.
That's a good answer.
You
know,
that's funny.
You just fight your ass off to the end and see you later.
correct me if I'm wrong. My recollection of the Gatti fights is that they happened in fairly rapid succession.
It happened, all three of them happened within 13 months.
That's crazy.
Wow.
That's crazy.
And they all delivered, you know, like people couldn't get old.
Yeah.
Listen, I got to ask you something. All the fights were a seesaw where it looked like one of you was out. And all it would take was one more punch and the fight would be over. And the one who was just about out would suddenly take over and the tide would turn. This is the most amateurish question I've ever asked in my life. How does a person take that many punches in the face and still be able to complete a fight, go through a fight? If somebody hit me, Mickey, I would get hit. I've never been hit in my life ever. And with my mouth, I'm surprised.
I'm shocked, yes.
Yeah, everybody would be shocked. Who knows me? If somebody hit me in the face once, I'd go, okay, I'm good. How did you?
I'm done.
I don't know if you or Arturo could have explained this, but how can you take that? How are you that tough? How can you take that many punches?
It's funny you say that because I look at things now, like my fights now, and I go, Jesus, what the hell was I thinking? You know? But when you're actually doing it, you know, you actually train for it. It's not that you just train for it and you can take it. No, it's your will. You know, it's not, everyone has the same size heart. You know what I mean? We all are hearts the same, but I think it's the will to be able to endure stuff and like keep going. Mm-hmm. I think we both had that.
Yes.
And I never quit. Like, what, if you get knocked down, you got to just keep trying because I'm the one that's got to look at myself in the mirror the next day and know that I quit or didn't come out for the next odd round or didn't get up, or I have to live with that, not anybody else. And I don't want to do that.
Those fights were so historic and so intense, and as Gary says, so back and forth. For a couple of them, was it two of them that afterwards both of you had to be taken to the hospital?
Yeah, especially the third one. I was already in the emergency room, and someone come in, and it was a big emergency room, so I was in one stall, and the doctor goes, somebody over here wants to say hi to you. and they opened the curtain up, and it was a total. He was getting stitched up. And, you know, the funniest, and this is what made me like be as, like a great friend with him, is because, you know, after the fight, people, you know, some people only like each other at all ever. And, you know, after the fight, the first thing he said to me was, not like anything else, he said, "Mick, you okay?" And that really showed me, I get goosebumps now when I say it, that really showed me like what a good guy he is. You know what I mean? He really trying to take my head off for 30 rounds and vice versa. And the first thing he said is, "You okay?" You know, and that showed me he was what a good guy he was.
Now, I know you guys became very, very tight. And are you still dealing with the loss of Arturo and also the mystery around the death? It's horrible for me to think that there's no concrete answer for something. I don't like that in anything.
Exactly. Something like that, too. You know what I mean? But, you know, I'm not going to put countries, I blame countries, but over there, like, I don't know how they deal with things or whatever, but I just know he didn't do what they said he did. You know, himself. I just don't see it.
You came out immediately and you said there's no way, I know him really well, there's no way Arturo Gatti would commit suicide, is what you said.
That's what I think. I mean, that's my opinion, but, you know, that's why I'm not a lawyer.
It's probably never going to be answered, right?
You're right. You're 100% right. You know, to reopen it up, it'd be a lot of money. It'd be a lot of whatever time, I guess. And I guess it's just, it's over in that country. You know what I mean? It's not, again, it's not a beautiful country, but, you know, it's not the USA, you know?
Right. I'm not meaning to trivialize any of this in any way, but it's interesting because The Fighter, that movie, is such a good, solid movie, and it's, you know, really about your relationship with your brother and all of that. It has always struck me that there's a second movie here after that one ends that goes into you and this very interesting relationship with Gatti, the fact that there were these magnificent fights, you know, that gave, you know, if you're a student of boxing or a fan of boxing, that's everything you want in a fight. Two guys really going at each other, so much so that they're both completely wasted at the end of it. And then the friendship that came out of that. Has anyone ever approached you about that or have you ever thought about
Well, Mark has talked. Yeah, like Mark Wahlberg has talked to me on a lot of occasions. And I believe there's talks of it or something. Like, I really don't know in detail yet, but you know, there's mention of it, and I hope it does happen because I think that would be a great. I mean, the first one was absolutely great, but it was more like about me and the family and the brother, and it was more like family type thing. So, like, the woman loved it because of the sisters and all that. But this one here would be more about me and him and the fights we had and the friendship and, you know, things like that. And so I think it'd be a great boxing movie, you know what I mean? Like, two honest guys just giving it their all.
You know, a lot of times in Hollywood, they force a sequel that's unnecessary. This is a sequel that's just waiting to be made.
Yes.
True. Very true. And I hope it gets made.
I do, too. You know, you had a most unusual relationship as very close friends who had been through these wars together. I think there's a great story to tell. I think for Arturo, I hope they do it. And I also hope for you that this story gets done.
Because I even trained him for his last fight.
I know you did.
I was Ryan Woodham. I think I was in better shape than him for the fight.
did you suspect before that last fight that he lost terribly? Did you suspect going into it that he was in trouble?
No, honestly, no. And that's the funny thing is about the Gomez fight. We were in Florida for a couple of months, me and Toro and his strength conditioning coach, Teddy Cruz, and he was in shape. He was in very good shape. He was in good spirits. His weight was good. He was doing good in the gym. He was strong. He was everything, talking good. He was very positive. And, you know, in the dressing room, he hit good. Everything was good.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened from the walk from the dressing room into the ring. Well, it was kind of like me after I come out that round, had nothing. When he got in the ring, it's like he had nothing. It was like everything just come out of him.
Really?
It was like the walk from the dressing room to the fight was like he lost everything. I don't know. And it happens, you know. And unfortunately, you know, he got beat pretty good. It got beat pretty bad. And you know, but that was a shell of who he was.
Yeah, no, that wasn't Arturo.
And that's not taken away from Gomez because he's a very tough, good fighter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just like a shell.
Tell me about your how are you doing now? You know, because one of the things, it's such a brutal game, such a brutal sport.
Right.
And you worry about guys who have come out of it, but you sound like you're doing great, and you know you're living your life, and you know.
Yeah, I'm doing good. You know, I still hit the gym almost every day. Was with the Teamsters, union back here with the movie division, the Local 25 on Charlestown, Mass. With doing that, and you know, I do a lot of speaking engagements and appearances and stuff, and you know, so everything's good in that fact. In that matter, but
That's good.
I do have the post-concussion syndrome.
You do have that?
Yeah, I do. I'm actually one of the only fighter, I think. I went to study with Dr. Robert Cantu out of Boston, and Chris Nowinski is the gentleman spearheading. This is an ex-wrestler that went to, I believe, Harvard, did the donating the brains.
Right.
And I'm donating my brain when I pass and a part of my spinal cord so they can... started the effects of concussions.
Wow.
Nikki, yeah. That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm diagnosed with it and stuff. You know, I do have to take medicine twice a day for it, but I'm fine. You know, I stay healthy, and you know, my weight's good. I don't party and all that stuff, so... I don't think much at all, so
it's something,
I try to stay healthy.
It's something we know more and more about now, particularly because of the NFL and what that's been going through.
Exactly.
And now the training provided to coaches, even at the high school level and younger, trying to protect against that and inform people about that. Knowing what you know now, and you know, the boxing game, that was how you made your living for many years.
Right.
Knowing what you know now, would you do it again, or would you do it differently?
I'd do everything the same exact way, and I'd do it harder.
see,
no
that's
way,
what,
I wouldn't change.
Hey, Mickey, that's what
it
makes
is what
you.
It is.
That's what makes you a champion, Mickey.
hell no.
Well, let me ask
I'm
you this,
Mickey.
Let me ask you this then: is there anything that boxing could be doing to help lessen the possibility of this happening? Is there anything that could be implemented?
No. You know, it's a question. A lot of I ask myself a lot of times, and people ask me. But it's inevitable. You're gonna get hit. That's the name of the game. Is you get hit in the head. That's the name of the game. You know, I think there's nothing you can do. I think maybe the only thing that could help it or whatever is it less sparring or something. You know, less because believe me, a lot of fighters get concussions in sparring. They don't even know it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? They go into the fight with them.
Right.
So maybe if you less the sparring, easy to sparring up, but it might be some. I used to like to spar hard because if you, with my crazy mind, if I sparred easy, I'd fight easy.
Mm.
So I like to spar hard and fight hard, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you spar a little, maybe lighter and don't get hit in the head as much, and you know what I mean, that's the only way you could probably do it because the name of the game is to be hit in the head, you know, pretty much.
I'll tell you what, I know it's a big money sport and you know, a lot of people still like it and I don't watch it as much as I used to. You know, there aren't as many personalities like yourself and some of the others that I used to follow and be interested in. Now, there just aren't as many. I actually think at some point, I don't know if it's going to be anytime soon, I think at some point boxing will be banned. I think it's going to go away because it's the only sport aside from now this crazy...
Well, Ultimate Fighter.
Ultimate Fighting, which is even worse. Oh, my God. I was watching something the other night. A guy was being pummeled...
On the ground.
If this had been happening on the street, they would have arrested the assailant.
Yeah, I know.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, these are the only sports where the objective really is to injure the other person. I think at some point it's going to go away.
Boxing is the oldest sport there is. And, you know, and like you said, the name of the game is to hit people in the head. So, but I think if they do it right, maybe if they change, I don't know what they can change, but. Hopefully, I love it. Hopefully, it doesn't go away. But you know, who knows? But it is a great sport. It's a great sport for kids, not to fight, but to learn, for conditioning, for health purposes, things like that. You know, I mean, not just to go in there and fight, but like to learn. It gives you respect. It teaches a lot of respect. Believe me, more than you think, for kids that are getting bullied or or even actually bullies doing boxing, they get to learn they ain't really that bad. They ain't that tough when they get in the ring.
Oh, there you go.
That's interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you, Mayweather Pacquiao. You have any thoughts on that?
Wow, that's tough. I don't know. You know, probably 5 years ago, I'd say Mayweather all the way, but within 5 years, obviously, he got older. I mean, he's still great. He's still the greatest fighter there is, but I think the playing field's a lot more even now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I may go with Mayweather, like, slightly. I don't know. I go back and forth, so
yeah.
I can't really say I think who's going to win, but I think the fight's a lot closer now than it was 5 years ago.
I agree.
And listen, Manny has nothing to lose.
Right.
Well, he has nothing at all to lose, and Manny's a lefty, in and out, he's fast. You know, and yeah, he got knocked out by Marquez, but I think even Klitschko got knocked out by that shot. He got caught.
That's when you're dangerous. Though.
It was like two trains flying.
That's when it's scary, when the other guy has nothing to lose. That's when it's scary.
Yeah, man, hey, exactly. I mean, if he gets beat, hey, all right, another loss. Give me my $80 million. I'll see you later.
Hey, I would go in the ring for that kind. I'd run around. People would be booing, but I'd be in the ring for a couple of rounds.
You know, I'm a sucker.
You ain't. I'd give him my arm, too.
I'm a sucker for boxing, but, you know, this $90 for this fight is really something, you know. But I'll wind up paying it because I won't miss this.
No, you know, you're 100% right. You know, people ask me, you going to go to a fight? I'm like, no. I go, are you me? No way. I'd rather straight in my house and no one's nagging on you. You know, he's like, see that. I sit at that set of my house with the bulldog, my TV beside me, and that's it.
Listen, I agree with everything that you said about the fight. I think, you know, this is one of those fights that it should have been held a few years
5 years
ago.
Yeah, it should have been really, 5 years ago.
Really,
yeah.
Really. But I give Mayweather
a slight edge. But this is the fight that will hopefully bring people back to boxing.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
You know what I mean? Because a lot of people... left boxing, they did go over to the UFC because it's exciting, even though it's crazy and it's very tough and stuff, that people love that, you know what I mean? And hey, it's combat, you know, people love to see that, and this could bring people back to boxing.
But Mickey, you know what? I agree with Tony about this. What always brought people to boxing were the personalities.
Yes.
And, you know, 100%. Remember, you know, I grew up, you know, 60s, 70s, when the heavyweights were, you know, I mean,
yeah.
I'd go watch an Ernie Shavers fight
as well as
watching a Norton or Ali or any. There were so many people, so many great.
Right.
Listen, I loved Danny Little Red Lopez. I used to.
Oh, wow. Yep.
I didn't miss a Duran fight. There were incredible personalities.
Yep.
I think the sport is missing Mickey Ward and Arturo Gatti.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, you know, it's like you just nailed it, too, though. It's funny because the 70s, even the 50s, right? From the 50s, you had Robinson Basilio, the two
yes.
dancing partners. Then you had the 70s, Ali Frazier.
Yep.
80s,
yes.
you had Hagler and Herns.
Leonard.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you had great fights, a good dancing partners for, like, whatever, you know?
That's right.
They don't got that now.
No, they
well,
don't.
Well, I think you're right about this big marquee fight. They're trying to get that again, and we'll see if it works. A lot of people are talking about this fight, so that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Right.
Listen, Mickey,
right.
we know you got things to do. I hope that another movie is made because I'd like to see that story on the screen. And if it does, we want to have you back on the show, talk about it and all that kind
of
thing.
Oh, great.
I would love that,
sure.
too. And you know what? I would love to see Mark play you again and do that movie.
Oh, he'd have to.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And this time, maybe he'll say some bad thing, so I won't look like, oh, you know what I mean?
you want a little more action so that maybe you can get that Oscar.
Yeah. Right? Somebody was like, I didn't say that. Do nothing.
You got to give him some tips.
Oh, man.
Mickey Ward, thanks,
You're
man.
Amazing, Mickey. Talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
Bye.
The Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein.
That was great. I, you know what? I have an idea.
Yes.
With that heavy Boston accent.
Boy.
How about if Mickey Ward is the next James Bond?
Oh, I like that.
I'm Bond, James. I don't even know how to do it. How would
do
you
the
do
accent.
It?
I'm Bond, James Bond.
Yeah, James Bond.
James Bond.
Bond. Would you like a martini, sir? I'll just have a beer.
Yeah, just a beer here. He's a character.
He really is. Yeah, he, yeah. And you know, I am
a very
sincere.
Good guy.
I know we both are. They need to make that movie. I don't know if you call it The Fighter 2. That seems kind of...
No. I think you make it a whole different thing. But, you know, I was serious about the Mark Wahlberg thing because...
Oh,
they
yeah.
wouldn't necessarily always do that,
That's,
but they
you're
should.
Right. They should
because he's identified now with Mickey.
Yeah, yeah.
And Arturo. I don't know who would play Arturo. That
right.
would be very interesting.
Right.
But I just think that's a terrific separate story. Very unusual.
Me too.
It's a relationship story, just like the first one was.
You know who could play Arturo, but has eliminated himself from contention? Yaphet Kotto.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
Historical white figure.
Yeah. Unfortunately. At the end of the interview, I looked it up. It looks like Mark Wahlberg actually said what he said about The Fighter 2. It was in the works in 2012.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, well, great.
He said, we left out the Arturo Gatti fights for a reason, because
yes.
that's for Fighter 2. We're not going to do 4, 5, 6, and 7. But we're going to do a sequel.
Oh, fantastic.
Well,
fantastic.
If it happens,
2012.
Because Mickey told me that there was one that had been in the works.
Right.
And that they're talking about it again. So
you never know with Hollywood.
You never know.
But we'll cross
our
fingers.
I really do hope it happens.
That would be great. That would be great. All right. That's all she wrote for this week's episode. We are jam-packed.
Why don't we start over?
No. We're going to wrap things up. I'm going to enroll you in some sensitivity training.
just get me some medication for ADD.
And I'll take some of that, too. Folks, as always, thanks for listening. Don't forget to tell your friends all about the show and tell them to find us on iTunes and subscribe to the show, please. And maybe they could leave a 5-star review.
Maybe they could do that. And just remember, The Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein is directed by Gordon Parks.
Goodbye.
When I left my home and my family, I was no more than a boy in the company of strangers, in the quiet of the railway station, running scared. Laying low, seeking out the poorer quarters where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they would know. Lie-la-lie, lie-la-lie-lie, lie-la-lie, lie-la-lie, asking only workmen's wages, I come looking for a job, but I get no offers. Just to come home from the wars on 7th Avenue. I do declare there were times when I was so lonesome, I took some comfort there. La 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 la.
The Tony Perkins Show. A more broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.